I want to welcome each and every one of you within the sound of my voice, wherever you are, laying eyes on our presentation today. I want to say again, welcome. Pastor Isaac, make some announcements for us.
Will do. So first of all, I just want to thank everybody that was able to make it out to Lake Eklutna yesterday. That was a lot of fun. It was great to be able to get out with people and just kind of, you know, physically distance in a safe way, but also still connect and just have a good time and fellowship. So that was awesome. If you didn't get a chance to make it, we're going to try to schedule another one in a couple weeks. So we'll give you more info about that. And then just some reminders that we have put on the website and Facebook events, the men's group, Kingdom Men, that's going to be starting in September, as well as the youth group that we're going to be starting up to called The Well. So just some fun things that we're going to have going forward there, and we'll give you more insight as we go forward. So let's just pray real quick, and we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for the people who can be here today online, because we know in the spirit realm we're all connected and we're all united, and it doesn't matter what distance we are that comes between us. We just ask that you'd bless our time today, bless Pastor Carl's message, that it would just be insightful, and just move on all of our hearts, wherever we're at, to just be able to receive what you have for us today. Amen.
Amen. Before we move to the next part of our service, I want to share with each and every one of you today, we've been announcing this for over a week, but we're going to be partaking of communion service today. So in your home there, if you find something you can use, they're called emblems of the body and blood of the Lord. And lay your hands on what you can, and we're going to have communion together near the end of our service time. But one of the things that we announced was that we wanted to record some testimonies from some of our Life Spring Bible Church family members. And I think we had two testimonies from one person in one video, and then testimony from Isaac and Leah about how God brought them to be with us, and a couple from another person, separate testimonies. What you're going to hear, we did not edit these. No need to do that. But you're going to find out that there are people in the body of Christ that come from vast, vast backgrounds. Some people raised in the church all their lives, have lived certain types of lives and have certain things to say in their testimony. And then there are people who you meet that by their own accounts would tell you that God brought them out of a very difficult life. And many things have happened in the lives of the people that you're about to hear today. And we'll talk more about that after the videos are aired.
Hi, our names are Isaac and Leah Johnson. And we just wanted to give a quick testimony. About a year ago, we started feeling like God was leading us to Alaska, which was weird because I never imagined us living here. Not that I hate it, but it was just very low on all the list of places I was thinking of moving someday. And so it was neat to see that over that year, we just began to ask God to confirm this this desire in us, and not just be something like, you know, indigestion or bad pizza. So some of the cool things that he did over this last year was, one, just giving me a love for the geography. We came up to visit last summer, and it was the first time I visited that I was like, wow, I just really fell in love with, you know, Hatcher's Pass and some of these areas, and that was really neat. And then just the other things that came up too was like, we were worried that our daughters, you know, they're junior high school, that this transition would be challenging, but then COVID coming along, and it really seemed to get them used to being away from their friends in a sense, and just having us be really close as a family. And so that was neat. So that over the last 6 months or so, we've really had to kind of bind together. And that has been really cool. So I'll let Leah share a couple things and then I'll wrap up.
Selling a house during a pandemic, once we made the decision to go, and I've kind of worried that who's going to buy a house when jobs are shaky and all this stuff. And we literally put our house on the market Monday, had 5 showings scheduled for Tuesday, had 9 more showings scheduled for Wednesday, and had offers by Wednesday night and sold the house by Thursday. So,
and we sold it for $16,000 more than what we had even put it on the market.
Yeah.
For.
So not only were we able to sell it in a pandemic, but God really blessed it, and just, you know, all these things that I feel like God was just saying, yes, this is my plan. This is what I have for you. And so he made it all work. And
And since we've arrived here, Leah's gotten just a job that she did not expect. That's been really amazing. We just feel at peace about things. The girls, our daughters, have really just embraced the scenery and just keep telling us how beautiful things are. And even just before we moved up, we were just, you know, like, we had saved up money and things, but just felt like God was doing one last thing where a client of mine just out of the blue gave me a check for $5,000 just for moving expenses. And it was just like telling us, wow, that's just God saying one more thing, that yes, this is where he wants us. So we're excited to be here. And we just believe that God's going to continue to do the good things, and he just keeps confirming every day in little ways. So those are just some big things, but there's been a lot of little things. And so we're excited to get to know all of you better. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Shakespeare. I and my husband own a 20-unit apartment building in Anchorage, Alaska. And so this first part of my testimony has to do with that apartment building. But first, I came across these verses from Psalms the other day, and it really resonated with me. Psalms 9, 1 and 2, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. And I guess that's what I'm doing today. Being in the apartment rental business is always challenging and always interesting. A couple of years ago, a young woman came to us. She had 2 young sons, and she was coming from a violent, abusive relationship with a man, and he was just recently put, at that time, he was recently put in jail. Sometimes we rent to people that we know have great jobs, great lifestyles, and they'll be the perfect tenant. Other times we take chances on people that have difficulties in their lives. Maybe they haven't made the best choices, and we're willing to give them a second chance. And she was one of those people. She had her challenges. She started out well, but over a period of time, her life went downhill. She lost her job. I think the business sold. She got another job, had difficulties there, and she started becoming late and behind in her rent payments. Eventually, she just moved out without paying us, without saying anything, without telling us anything. She just moved out. That was 2 years ago, 2 years ago this month. And of course, I've never heard from her since. And last week, I get this Friday, I think it was, I get this surprise phone call, and it's Mary. And she said, I know I treated you wrong, and I owe you some money, and I want to pay it. And I said, are you kidding me? Nobody ever does that. And she said, yes, I've been reflecting on my life and trying to change and trying to make good what I did wrong. And I pulled out the file, and she owed us $1,700. That's a lot of money. And I know I would be hard pressed to come up with that kind of money to pay a bill that I'm late in. And I told her, Mary, it's $1,700. You know, do you have that much money to pay? She said, yes, I'll give you my credit card number. So she gave me that, and the payment went through. And I said, Mary, you're just one in a million. And so after we hung up, I had to text her for related to this issue. And she texted me back, and she said, I want to thank you for being so courteous to me when I left in a very unnice way. And that just rejoiced my heart that she could see Christ through me. That, you know, I didn't have to be ugly or remind her of her problems or anything else. I was just overjoyed to hear from her and, of course, grateful for the payment. And so I was able to honestly text her back, and I said, Mary, I have nothing but good thoughts of you. I really like who you are as a person. And as I've reflected on that encounter, I've been reminded to pray for her often. And I keep wondering if God isn't at work in her life, because who goes to a bill 2 years later and seeks to make it whole? It's such an unusual event. And I just praise God for that. But more than that, I just pray that either she has come to know the Lord or she is coming to know the Lord, and that she will grow in that process. So yes, that really warmed my heart, and it made my day, my week, and my month, I think, because I don't know that I've ever had a tenant that has left on owing us rent that has ever come back and willingly, without going through the courts, pay their past due debt. It was wonderful. But I want to share one more thing. During this coronavirus, I have not liked it, just like anybody else. I don't like the isolation and the distancing. But I will tell you that I feel like I've grown in the Lord so much during this time period. One area that I am growing in is I always used to not even want to think about, much less talk about, the discipline of the Lord. I tend to be a very sensitive person. I cry easily, and please don't discipline me, God. You know, I don't want the wrath of God. I don't want you hurting me. And it wasn't until recently that I realized what a beautiful thing the discipline of the Lord is. And now I ask for it. If we have tender hearts towards Him, He's not going to be mean and lash out at us and just chastise us in hardness just to chastise us. Sometimes we have human parents that chastise that way, but He's not like that. He disciplines us for our good because He loves us. And now I've learned to be thankful for His discipline and ask for it on a daily basis. Lord, please correct me. If I'm doing something wrong, correct me, because I want to be like You. And I pray that in my prayers for other people now, that the Lord will lovingly discipline, chastise, and correct and teach people so that we can become more like Him, more in His image, because He is everything that we want. So I'm sorry I'm crying, but it means a lot to me. And thank you for watching, and I just pray for you and your growth with the Lord as well, that you'll have many new aha moments and just a sweet walk with Him. Thank you. Bye.
Hi. My name is Melinda Horder. Come on. And this is Vera. We're members of Life Spring Bible Church. As a little testimony today of what God's been doing in our lives. Since the beginning of the year, pretty much, my mom had a mass in her left kidney. I got to go to Florida in January and spent a whole month with my mom. They removed the kidney, and it was all contained in the kidney. So all of what was in there was removed when they took the kidney out. It was cancer, but she is now cancer free and didn't have to do any radiation or chemo or anything like that. I stayed with her for a month, helped her recover. Great reconciliation in our relationship happened, and that was amazing. God totally restored our relationship, and restored her and her sister's relationship. They hadn't talked in probably 25 years, and He restored their relationship, as now they're still in contact with each other and doing stuff together and stuff like that. Look at you. Aren't you cute? Is that you? Say hi. What else has God been doing? God has been, I came down with vertigo, and it was really bad to where I had to go in and start physical therapy, and it just went away. We've been praying about it, and it just went away, and I'm really thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. God's been really good to us as far as financial-wise. Tim was on part of the hunker down thing at first, and then he was deemed essential, which was really good as well. We've been doing okay, where nobody has gotten sick, everybody is really well, and that is to praise to God for sure, because he takes care of us and watches out for us. So I praise him and I thank him for everything he does in my life. And have a blessed day. Bye. Hi, my name is Melinda Horder. I'm with LifeSpring Bible Church, and I have some testimony that just happened. I chatted with a friend of mine who is moving to a town that I used to live in. Today I'm 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days old in Jesus. On this day, on my baptism day, I spent that day years ready to murder somebody, kill somebody for things that they had done to, I'm just not going to go into it. Anyway, my heart was not good. It was in a very bad, dark spot. So, when I got baptized, I said, hey, I forgive you, but not really meaning it in my heart. But today, after chatting with this lady, I messaged her and I'm like, if you see this person, can you tell them these exact words? That I was baptized on your birthday. I tried to forgive you and couldn't. But now today, as of today, 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days after my baptism, I can honestly say that I forgive you for what you did. I forgive you, and I hope you make it to heaven, and I hope I see you there and not across the way and not on my side of heaven like I used to say. So I had to look up scripture, Psalm 44:4, of course, and I had to come in and write it on my wall. So it's right up there. So, and I know that's backwards to you guys, so I'm going to read it. It's Psalm 44:4. You are my king and my God, who decrees victories for Jacob. Now, I took Jacob out and I put my name in there so that my name is on that wall. And God decrees victories for me. For me. And today I can truly say that I am set free because I forgive him honestly in my heart. In my heart, I forgive him. And I'll tell you what, that feels good.
Want to thank the folks that were willing to tape some of those testimonies for us. And, you know, like I said, they were unedited, and there was no reason to edit them. I certainly appreciate Sister Melinda sharing her testimony with us. She'd be the first to tell you that the background that God brought her out of, it makes for a powerful testimony, and you may wonder, well, what did this guy do that was so bad? That's really none of our business. But I'm certain that it was not good, and that she felt the way she felt. But what's important about Melinda's testimony and all the testimonies is God does great things in our lives. He takes care of us. He meets our needs. He teaches us. He changes us. He delivers us. He heals us. He provides for us. He saves us. Amen? And we're really happy about those powerful things that God does in our life. And once again, I want you to know and understand that we teach and believe at this church, that people who give their testimonies draw strength from those testimonies, from giving those testimonies, and the people who hear those testimonies draw strength from those testimonies. I can tell you today that the folks that listen to those testimonies, a wide range of needs were met. A wide range of things happened, and if God can do it for the folks in like Isaac and Leah and Sister Cheryl and Sister Melinda, He loves you just as much as He loves them, and what He's done for them, He'd be willing to do for you. Amen. We just need to place our trust and our faith in Him. We are going to take a few minutes today for a communion devotional. It's just a few short pages of notes that I want to share with you from the Word of God. And I'm going to start with a little introduction here. There was a man who was working one day when his tooth fell out of his head. He'd been having problems with it. After a few days of badgering him, his partner convinced him to see a dentist. The dentist promptly warned him to visit a doctor since he perceived the issue to be much more serious problem because it involved infection. He refused because, to quote his partner, he was stubborn like that. So eventually he developed a serious infection to the point where he was in unbearable pain. And to make a long story short, he eventually died. He eventually died in his sleep. Only a few days later, because of a link between the infection in his jaw and concurrent heart problems. And that sounds extreme, but that's how the situation unfolded. So there's a sense in all of us that wants to avoid any kind of confrontation, even a confrontation with a doctor, having to do with our health. There are a lot of people that know something's wrong in their body, and they don't really want to know what it is. They don't really want to know what's going on because of fear. And a lot of that was a part of this man's life, and also pride, especially when it has to do with us being confronted. As we said, there's a sense in all of us that wants to avoid any kind of confrontation. We tend to neglect our physical health and want to always assume the best of ourselves. We're going to be okay. We tend to give ourselves a pass and think that our problems are less severe than they truly are. This is sometimes true of our body, but listen carefully. It's exponentially more so when it comes to our spiritual life. We always assume we're doing better than we are. We tend to minimize our sin while maximizing the sin of others. The fact of the matter is that we need continual checkups on our spiritual health. We need to be sitting under faithful pastors preaching the Word of God. This is one way to help. Surrounding ourselves with godly friends and mentors is another. Regular Bible reading and prayer are other ways as well, but perhaps one of the main regular spiritual doctor visits that we so desperately need is the Lord's Supper. On the night before our Savior died, He instituted this meal. He expects us to regularly take this supper. He believes that it will make a difference in our lives. The Lord's Supper has many effects for the believer. So there are three things that you might not know that communion does for your, and I said spiritual life, but I could drop that and say your life. Because we know that in past studies it's been revealed that God can do physical miracles as well as spiritual miracles in our lives while partaking of the Lord's Supper. The first point, the Lord's Supper challenges your desires. In Luke chapter 22, verse 15, it says, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So Jesus gave up His life. No one took it from Him. Not only did He know He was born to die, but He knew the way He would die. But He also knew about the Last Supper He would eat with His disciples. In Luke 22, He tells us that He earnestly desired to eat this meal with His disciples. That was in verse 16. He had looked forward to this very meal for a very long time. Why was He so eager? Partly because the meal was a transition meal. This meal would be the final God-ordained Passover that this world would ever see, but it would also prove to be the first God-ordained Lord's Supper. Now, I got to explain that to you. We've been having the Lord's Supper together for a very long time. And we've had it very often in our lifetime. But the last one that was held on this planet was with Christ in the flesh was that night, recorded in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus Christ went on to make a place for us in heaven, and he looks forward to the time that we will have that supper together again. So that next point here under this first one that says the Lord's Supper challenges your desires is that we learn that this is a future meal. The Bible tells us that he is eager to have this meal with us again. Another reason is because he's looking forward to a meal in the future, a meal he'll partake in with us, all of his children in the kingdom. He eagerly awaits that day. The real important question is, are we eagerly awaiting that day? It's an important question in the day and age in which we live. Do you ever get nervous while watching the news? You ever get nervous about, you know, when you look at the news now and you read the papers and you perceive all of the things that are going on around us, and then you read what the scripture says about the last days, there's no difference between what you're hearing in the news, what you read in the news, and what you read in the Bible. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but human nature is a funny thing. Human nature really isn't comfortable with change. Have you noticed that? But the Bible tells me that all these things must come to pass. Whether this is just a short period of time before Christ comes back or not, that doesn't matter. Jesus said these things must come to pass, and then the end will come. And he says over and over again, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Bible tells us he's eager to have this meal. Another reason is because he's looking to a meal in the future, a meal he'll partake in with us, all his children in the kingdom. He eagerly awaits that day. And the real important question is, are you eagerly awaiting this day? Wouldn't it be nice today in this communion service that this is the one that God does an adjustment in us and helps us? Because look, am I not being honest with you when I tell you the people I'm counseling, I'm having to remind them that we're supposed to be looking forward to Christ's return. Yet most people are nervous about it. Why don't we just get right with God and not be nervous about it? Amen. Why don't we just line up with the Word? Why don't we have a communion service, get lined up with the Word, and then if Christ comes back to get us, may he find us living for him and take us. Amen. We don't have to live in fear. And if he waits, we just keep moving forward with evangelism. Amen. We just keep moving forward. Next point is, he isn't here. Every Lord's Supper we take part in, there's something missing or someone missing. You say, well, Jesus isn't missing. He's here in my heart. No, look at this physical truth in Acts. In Acts, Jesus ascended and then the Holy Spirit came. So Jesus is in my heart. He's here. But the Bible tells me that right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now he's been birthed in my spirit by the power of the Spirit of God. And that's all well and true. But Jesus has left this earth physically, and the Holy Spirit has taken his place, so physically he's not here. Does that make sense? Watch this with me. Every Lord's Supper we take part in, there's someone missing. Like a mother who lost her son at war, and every Thanksgiving sets up a place in his honor at the dinner table, we too remember Jesus and should acknowledge the fact that he isn't here physically. He has prepared a place for us in heaven, according to John 14, verse 3. Part of the deal in the Lord's Supper is, listen to this now, part of the deal in the Lord's Supper is checking our desires and asking ourselves if we are truly longing for the day we get to see Christ face to face and get to eat with him and get to dine with him. You know, a lot of wonderful things will happen here today in us. I say miracles happen in every communion service. But I have to admit, on that day that we're with him in person and we partake of that meal together, that's going to be a special day. Amen? So we know that the Lord's Supper challenges our desires. Second point, the Lord's Supper confirms your dependence. Do this in remembrance of me. Isn't that what Jesus said? In Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus doesn't think highly about our ability to remember things. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Jesus doesn't think highly about our ability to remember things. Why? Look at all the experience that God the Father had. And in the desert with the children of Israel, he would do a great and mighty deed. He would deliver the children of Israel, and before long, what would happen? They would forget. They would forget. But Jesus reminds us, do this in remembrance of me. He institutes the Lord's Supper to remind us about how we are constantly in need of remembering him and what he was about to do, die on the cross for our sins. This exposes our dependence on him. We depend on Christ in our salvation entirely. There isn't 1 ounce of spirituality that we can just bring to the table all by ourselves. Not without him. Not without him. Amen? We're utterly bankrupt, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, outside of Christ, without him. And Jesus on the cross, by giving up his body and by shedding his blood completely, satisfied God's requirement and opened up the gates of heaven for anyone that would believe in him. Each time we come to the Lord's table, we are reminded about our dependence on him and our salvation and for our sanctification. The very act that he would make it an ordinance proves that the fact he believes that it would be beneficial for our Christian walk to do so on a regular basis. Let me rephrase that. The very fact that he would make it an ordinance proves the fact that he believes that it would be beneficial for our Christian walk to do so on a regular basis. And we do on a regular basis enjoy communion, don't we? We understand that this ordinance is an essential component of our walk with him, and so we regularly expose ourselves to the sanctifying action of reflecting on our walk every time we take the Lord's Supper. Point number 3, the Lord's Supper checks our devotion. In Luke 22, verses 22 and 23, it says, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing. The Lord's Supper is an opportunity to examine our hearts. As a pastor, I'm already overwhelmed with the responsibility of shepherding souls. Now pay attention to this, where I'm going with this. Any pastor that doesn't admit that either isn't shepherding people or isn't paying attention or is in a profession instead of a calling. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it's more than any human can handle. Pastors really couldn't do their jobs without God, without Christ helping, without the Spirit, the helper alongside. Sometimes we have a hard time discerning why people do what they do. Imagine being a pastor for a minute. We have a hard time discerning why people do what they do. The reason is because we simply cannot see their hearts. Only God can. It'll never cease to fascinate me that the disciples had no idea who would betray Jesus. They started questioning amongst themselves who this person might be. They lived beside Judas for 3 years, and yet they had no idea that he wasn't truly one of them, even after Jesus made it quite clear. So what do we do? You know, I was a student at Luther Rice Seminary, and when I finished there, I think it would have been nice if they'd have handed me a pair of X-ray goggles that I could use to look at people's lives and see into their heart, but I was never given one of those. Goggles that when you put them on tell you who is teachable and who isn't. It would save so much time, effort, and tears, it appears, or I think. But pastors don't receive these goggles, at least at Luther Rice Seminary we didn't. So what are we to do? First of all, pastors have to take a look into their own hearts. I think that's what we really all have to do. Amen? We have to take a serious look at our own hearts. We're to examine it to see whether or not we are in the faith, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. And we are to encourage those around us to do the exact same thing. Ultimately, people are responsible for their own walk with Christ. However, we've got to teach those around us to do self-checks. And the Lord's Supper is the best place that Jesus has given us to do that. So, you're missing out if you're not regularly exposing yourself to the Lord's Supper, your Christian walk will suffer. If you're not regularly exposing yourself to the Lord's Supper, your Christian walk will suffer. It means that you either go to a church that is neglecting a clear ordinance of God, and you should immediately leave. If you're part of a church where they're neglecting this very, very, very important process, I don't think it's a good church to be a part of. Or it means that you're not attending a church, which also means that your Christian walk is suffering. Furthermore, you're missing out on so many important blessings. The blessing of remembering eternity as we get challenged on our desires. The blessing of remembering our dependence on Christ in every area of our life. And the regular examination of whether we are truly devoted to the Savior. Always remember the Lord's Supper as medicine for your spiritual and physical needs. Do not neglect the Lord's Supper because it is a medicine prescribed to you by Jesus himself to help you grow in his likeness. Amen? Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you have the emblems of the body and blood of our Lord, you can partake with us today. Let me read this passage of Scripture to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, some wonderful words given to us by Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Now, we can stop right there. Never let the devil intimidate you into not taking communion, when in reality it is quite simple to get ready. God even says, God inspired Paul to write these words, that you can even consider yourself worthy. That is a heavy word, worthy. The devil is screaming at you that you're not worthy. Don't take it. You're going to take damnation to yourself. No. Jesus Christ has taught Paul, and Paul has taught us, that all we have to do to get ready and be worthy is examine ourselves. Right? All right. Take the emblem of the body of our Lord in hand. I'm going to start with that. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm about to take an opportunity to pray over this emblem of the broken body of your Son, Jesus Christ. But before I do, on behalf of everyone who's laying eyes on this video today, our time together on Facebook, and what's being broadcast, and the handful of people that are in this room today, help us, Father, by the power of your Spirit, to examine ourselves. Lord, we promise that if you pick something in our lives that you want to replace, you want to remove, you want to take care of for us because we can't take care of it, maybe ourselves. We know, Father, that there are habits that get ingrained in our lives that only a miracle. Only by a miracle would they be removed. But you're in that miracle working business, Father. It's nothing for you. The creator of the universe, if we'll only yield to you, Father, whatever desires in our lives that we have that we should not have, that are displeasing to you, we can be worthy by talking to you about it and then just yielding it over to you. Father, I want to thank you for this emblem of the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's emblematic. It helps us to remember what you've done for us, Jesus. And it prepares us for what you're about to do in us by the power of your Spirit, Father. We pray over this emblem. We ask that you cause it by the power of your Spirit to be everything to us that you desire it to be. In Christ's name we pray. Shall we partake of the emblem of the body of our Lord together? Father, as we have already prayed over the emblem of the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I now pray over this emblem of the shed blood of Jesus that cleanses us afresh and anew of all of our sins and all of our shortcomings. Cause it to be to us all that you would have it to be, Father. In Christ's name we pray as we yield everything in our lives to you. In Christ's name, amen. Shall we partake of the emblem of the shed blood of Jesus Christ together? Father, thank you for hearing the prayers of your people. Thank you for honoring your word in our lives today. Thank you for another wonderful opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper again together. Help us, Father, to look forward to the day when we will be in the presence of Christ and we will partake of that meal face to face. What a glorious day that will be. Father, remove fear from our lives, I pray in Jesus' name, as we yield to you. May we not be frightful over the news. May we be people of prayer, Father, every day of our lives. May we be people every day that yield our lives to you, all of our emotions, all of our concerns, all of our doubt, fear, and unbelief. Take it from us, we pray in Jesus' name. Help us to live lives that are pleasing to you in all that we say and do. Thank you, Father, that we're reminded when we take communion that Jesus Christ also received stripes on his back on the day that he died on that cross for us, so that we could walk in health. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Father, for helping us to repent of all of our sins and shortcomings, turning to you, talking to you about everything, Father. Thank you for healing our land, and thank you for destroying this virus. All for your glory, we pray. All for your glory. Watch over us, Father, as we depart from this place today. Keep us safe and healthy. Help us to be growing in you. And help us to be sharing Christ with a lost and dying world. We want to thank you, Father, even now, for a great and mighty revival that we believe has already started. Some can't see it yet with their eyes. Some don't even hear it yet with their ears. But I thank you, Father, that it's there and it's growing. Let it continue, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you and have a great day.